How you feel about Christmas? Some people eagerly wait Christmas. We have the youngest in our family, and she's been counting down. And last night it was, I can't wait for Christmas Day. I wonder if we're all like that. The children love Christmas, don't they? And many of us as adults really love Christmas because we love being with family. It's a bit of a holiday time, and particularly it's a time to remember the birth of the Lord Jesus. But there are pressures, aren't there? Some people are looking at the bank balance and wondering, can I spend any more or have I spent too much? For some, it's a great pressure, isn't it? Thinking of all those people who are coming, cooking for them all, or journeying and visiting relatives that you haven't seen for quite a while. And maybe the last time you met them, you didn't get on so well. And some people find Christmas very difficult. Some are lonely and they think of everybody else having a wonderful time, and they're alone. I was listening to the radio this week, and this man was saying, well, I've got a big job, a big salary, a wonderful flat, a marvellous Christmas tree, and I've got nobody to enjoy it with. And he was very lonely, very sad. Only his parents he would meet with at Christmas Day. Christmas is a wonderful time, but it's hard for some. Now, there are different perspectives on Christmas, aren't there? Some Christians consider the pagan roots of Christmas, and there are many pagan roots, and they react against the concept of Christmas. When we lived in Brazil, it was a pagan thing to have a tree because they saw the pagan roots. Many of the Brazilian Christians wouldn't have a Christmas tree. Some Christians over the centuries have opposed the celebration. Oliver Cromwell, in government, banned the singing of carols and all Christmas celebration, because he saw the connection with excess, the connection even with the worship of Mary and other things. On the other hand, Martin Luther, he was the first Protestant to decorate a Christmas tree. He felt that these things could be sanctified. Think of a great man like Spurgeon, who preached to 5,000 every week in London, and he would say things, well, of course Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December, and we haven't even got the year right. But it's a wonderful time for Christians and for society to remember the birth of Christ, and ought we not to have many such services to welcome strangers in who hardly darken the door of a church? So there's different perspectives, aren't there, on Christmas. You can have a very narrow perspective. I want nothing to do with it because of some of its roots or some of its connections. Or you can say, let's use it for the glory of God and think of Jesus Christ. Yes, at this time there's spending sometimes to excess. Drink is a problem for many. Gluttony. But you know, the Christian can think in this way. It's a time to give. It's a time to show love, to remember that God gave an indescribable gift. He gave his only son, and that's why we give to others. It's a time to care. People like the Salvation Army and others do a wonderful work helping the homeless and the lonely. It's a time to invite others to our homes. It's a time to visit others. It's a time to spend quality time with family and relatives. There are many good traditions. I don't know if you know why we have Boxing Day. But you know, the churches, they used to have alms boxes, and they collect money for the poor. And on Boxing Day, those boxes were opened and the money was given to the poor and distributed to others. So Christmas really is a reason to give thanks. You can capitalize on it. I was looking on the internet at different facts about Christmas, and it's interesting what they say. Why do we have green, red and gold as the main colours for Christmas? Hadn't thought about that. What have you thought about that? And the secular writer wrote this: green represents new life, red represents the blood of Christ, and the gold represents his kingship. Isn't that a wonderful message? That's the message of Christmas. Christ came into this world to die, to shed his blood, that we might have new life, and he is the King of Kings. I never knew also that the wreath, the holly wreath that we have, is meant to symbolise the crown of thorns. Isn't it wonderful to connect Christmas with Easter? Well, we've given out 2,500 Christmas cards to our neighbours in Llantrisant and Bather. And it was lovely to see so many people coming in last Sunday night, friends, relatives, children from searches, their parents, their grandparents, mother and toddlers group, others who've just come in because they've received a card. And the text on the front of the card was this: "For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy to all people." And surely that's the dominant note of Christmas. The message of the Bible is this: we have good news of great joy for all the nations. Yes, we don't hide from the dark realities of that first Christmas. We don't hide from the fact that there was a genocidal attempt by that wicked man Herod to kill all the baby boys in Bethlehem. We don't hide from the horror that happened. We don't as well minimise the fact that the Son of God should come from those sapphire-paved courts, the glory and the wonder of heaven, to the squalor of a stable. But you know, the dominant note of all the passages as you read Matthew, Luke, John, as you read the prophecies, the dominant note is joy. If you read every single passage, speaks about the wonder and the amazement and the joy of Christmas. Think of the shepherds. Imagine these men. Wonder what they were talking about that night. Maybe they were asleep on the hillsides. Maybe they were around a fire, chatting, reminiscing. But then unexpectedly, heaven breaks in. The angel of the Lord stands before them and says these words: "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful that God comes to people even today, not through angels, but with that same message? People who are just talking about the latest things on the news, not considering God, just going about their daily business, just like those shepherds, involved in normal work activities, no real seeking after God. But God breaks into people's lives today around the world as God sends his messengers, his servants, Christians, telling the good news of Jesus Christ. And many of these people respond. Yes, there are many who reject, but there are those like the humble shepherds who run to Jesus with eagerness and who believe in him and who turn to him. Now, one angel appeared, the angel of the Lord, and then something awesome happens. A whole army of angels, a multitude of angels appear in the heavens. They have that wonderful angelic chant, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." It must have been awesome, wasn't it? To see the sky lit up with this glory. They've come from heaven. These are holy angelic beings. And they announce such a wonderful message and they glorify God. They themselves are astounded that the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, should come to earth and be born in a manger in Bethlehem. Now the shepherds, they swiftly go from their hillside to Bethlehem. And when they see Jesus, and when they meet just this young couple, Joseph and Mary, a humble couple, they're convinced that this is the Messiah, the Christ child, the Saviour, the one who has come to save men and women from their sins. And so they go around telling everybody. They've seen all they've seen. There's a little baby in a dirty stable, and there's an ordinary couple, and yet they know that the message of the angels is true. And they spontaneously tell everybody. And then we read this: they return home. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. They are full of wonder and joy. If we really understand what Jesus came to do. If we really understand that he came to reconcile us to God, the people who don't know God, who live without God, who live without hope, should come to know the living God and should have peace with God, no longer be separated to God by their sins, no longer be enemies of God, but become friends of God. This should be a cause of tremendous rejoicing. Oh, that we, as the Christian people of God, would rejoice in him. May it be that our services are full of praise and worship, joy from the bottom of our hearts. So the shepherds rejoiced, but the wise men. Do you remember these men who came from the east, such a long journey? Convinced that the Christ had been born. They came following a star. They came to Herod. Herod turned to his own wise men. And these men said, yes, in the scriptures, it's prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. The book of Micah tells us that, the prophet Micah tells us. But we know Herod had other purposes. Yes, he could tell these wise men where Jesus was, the Messiah was. But he had no desire to worship him. He wanted only to destroy him. But God had other purposes. You see, these wise men, as they left Herod, we're told in the Bible that they saw the star again. And they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They didn't just rejoice with joy. They didn't just rejoice with great joy. But they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They were absolutely overcome and overpowered with emotion. Their hearts were full of gladness because they saw the star in the heavens and they knew that that unusual star that God had put there was pointing them to the Messiah, the hope of all the nations. What about you this Christmas time? We're not expecting to see a star in the skies. We can look at natural revelation. We can see the moon and the sun. And we can say, yes, I know God exists. The very world, the intricacy and the beauty of the world proclaims the glory of God. Yes, in the natural revelation of God, we know God exists. But what about the special revelation? We have the full revelation of God. We have much more than the wise men ever had. We have everything we need to go. We need to know. We have complete Bible, the very word of God that points us to the Saviour. If they had reason to rejoice with exceedingly great joy at seeing a star, we have far more reason to rejoice than them. May it be that this Christmas we rejoice because we know the Lord Jesus and we have the full revelation of God. So the shepherds rejoiced, and the wise men rejoiced. But we read of others rejoicing too. Think of Mary. Now sometimes joy isn't always spontaneous. Maybe you didn't sleep well, or maybe you're up very early like Dave, and it's not easy when you're up early. You're feeling very tired, aren't you? Or maybe you're feeling ill this morning. And it's not easy to rejoice when you're feeling ill. The body and soul are connected, aren't they? If you're depressed, there's nothing that you can do about depression in one sense. Until the Lord lifts you out of it. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice. But there are times when God enables us to rejoice spontaneously or as we just wait upon him. Think of George II when he listened to the Hallelujah chorus at Handel's Messiah all those years ago. And when the words, "The Lord Omnipotent reigneth," were sung, he spontaneously stood to his feet as the king. And as the king stood to his feet, everybody else, they followed him. You see, he was overcome with spontaneous emotion. But it's not always like that, is it? And when Mary was told to rejoice, she was told to rejoice, "Highly favored one, for the Lord is with you. You are blessed amongst women." When she was told to rejoice, when the angel came to her, her initial reaction was not rejoicing. Rather, we read she was troubled. She was bewildered. She was shocked. Yet as the angel calmed those fears, as the angel explained what would happen, that the Holy Spirit of God would overshadow her womb, that the power of the highest would be upon her, and that which was conceived in her would be of God and would be the Holy One. As she considered this, and as her heart was calmed within her, she began to rejoice. She accepted the word of God. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. She came to a settled conviction. No, this will happen. I will be the bearer of the Christ child. Though I'm a young girl, though I'm a virgin, I will bear him. And she came to rejoice. She could say, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Isn't that wonderful? One who was bewildered, one who was confused, one who was struggling when she was told to rejoice, came to that position where she could rejoice fully and completely in the Lord. May that be the case for some here this morning. Maybe you're confused or bewildered, or you're struggling. Maybe you have questions about the Bible or questions about God. Maybe you're fearful about things. Maybe there are things that are troubling you in your life, but oh, that you would come quietly and meditate upon God's word. Meditate upon the truths of the gospel. May your heart be warmed, and may you be led to that position of rejoicing. These passages speak of grace, don't they? Shepherds, just ordinary men, and yet they come to see the Christ child and rejoicing. Sometimes you think, well, I can't rejoice. I've argued with a member of my family. I can't rejoice. I haven't been as kind as I should have been at Christmas. I haven't bought that present that I should have been done. I've been a bit miserly. I can't rejoice. I haven't visited that person I should have visited. I can't. But God is a God of all grace. A God who covers sin as you come humbly before him. A God who enables his people to rejoice. He says, doesn't he, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. May we really be a people who rejoice in the Lord. There's wonderful news in the carols. The carols reflect the teaching of the Bible. We sang, didn't we? Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. That's what happens to people who don't know the Lord Jesus and who don't know this God. If they come humbly before God and ask Christ to enter their lives, he will enter in. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. That's what we've just sung this morning. If you know that you're a sinner and you know that you're outside of God's kingdom, pray this prayer. Cast out my sin. Be born in me today. There's another carol that says that Christ was born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And that's what Christmas is about. Jesus was born in order to raise you up from your sin, from the degradation of your sin, and to make you his very child, to make you a son of God, to raise you up. He was born to give you a second birth. At the moment, you have no spiritual life if you're not a Christian. But he can give you a second birth, a spiritual birth. You've known that natural birth, that physical birth. But he can give you a second birth and you can know God. Christmas is a wonderful time. It's a time of proclaiming the good news. Great joy, good tidings of great joy to all people. For he is a wonderful counselor. He's a mighty God. He's the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace. May the words of the Apostle Paul be true in your experience this day. The Apostle Paul said this: may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to close our singing by singing a modern carol, Joy Has Dawned Upon the Earth. And the lady sang this on our special carol service night.